This is a replay of the Thursday night, February 19th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, well, that's what we'll talk about. Yes, providing it's not important or political or anything like that. I know it sounds like a contradiction when I said we'll start with presidential facts, but not the ones that you're used to hearing on the radio, that's for sure. Maybe you never knew before. And I thought about this. Well, for one thing, Engineer Bob had sent me a link. But for another thing, when we were doing Monday Night Trivia and determined that the thing that Abraham Lincoln did more than any other president was haunt the White House. several of you and your guests have said, well, did you know that he was also a wrestler with over 300 matches under his belt? And I think he only lost one. So that was interesting. But I thought, you know, there are probably some past presidents with other hobbies. Calvin Coolidge comes to mind, and I realize he usually doesn't come to mind for absolutely anything. Known to be quiet, and in his private life it was a little different. He had a penchant for unusual pets. He had a virtual zoo at the White House. No kidding. Besides other conventional pets which he had a couple of raccoons and a donkey and a bobcat and several lion cubs, a pygmy hippopotamus, a wallaby, an antelope, a black bear, and 13 Pekin ducks. Yes, right there on the lawn at the White House. That must have been quite the sight. Of course, they mentioned Jimmy Carter, and that's somewhat sad because, you know, before he was president, he talked about that he had had an encounter with an extraterrestrial, and yes, a UFO, and a sighting in Georgia, and he described seeing the bright light in the night sky that changed colors before disappearing, and he even filed an official report with the International UFO Bureau, whatever that was at the time, making him the only U.S. president to document a personal encounter with unidentified flying objects. But why I say it's somewhat sad is that when he was running for office, he pledged that he would release anything that we had on that, whether it was UFOs or other extraterrestrial items. And of course, he didn't. And afterwards, a reporter had asked him, after he was out of office, why he didn't. And literally, I wish I could find this clip, but there were tears in his eyes when he said, I can't. I just can't. So, yeah, needless to say, there was more to that story. And I'll tell you who's great, by the way, at that is Ross Coulthart on News Nation. And I listen to a lot of those clips on YouTube at night. And he's digging pretty deep. Very interesting stuff. All right, back to presidents and George Washington. You know, he had a side hustle. And, you know, what would that be? Whatever you're thinking, you probably wouldn't think that he was one of the largest whiskey producers in the United States, operating a distillery on his Mount Vernon estate. And 11,000 gallons of whiskey in 1799 alone. Despite this, he was a proponent of moderation, known well the dangers of drinking alcohol in excess. But at least he wasn't in any way hoping for prohibition. You probably know about Teddy Roosevelt being a boxer. That's kind of out there. But John Quincy Adams, another one. Who thinks of John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States? If he were doing this today, man, the press would have a field day. It was unconventional, and it was his daily routine. He skinny dipped in the cold waters of the Potomac every morning, believing that it invigorated both his body and his mind. And it wasn't odd at the time to bathe naked in the river. His doctor, however, wasn't fully convinced of the health benefits of this peculiar practice, but he defended his right to do so, and sometimes even invited family members or political acquaintances to join him nude in the Potomac. Oh, yeah, boy, that'd be a headline today. A modeling stint? Now, this one surprised me, and maybe you knew, but before entering politics, Gerald Ford was a male model. I kid you not, he was even on the cover of Cosmopolitan in 1942. However, he didn't pursue it for too long because he got into politics, and when he started campaigning as a Republican, he figured that maybe the modeling career should go by the wayside. But yeah, it's an unexpected layer to his image, to say the least. And here's one. When I say Richard Nixon, what do you say? Well, you say Watergate, that's what you say, because that's what we're all going to remember. But did you know he was an accomplished pianist? Even performed with the likes of Pearl Bailey and Jack Benny? And it was said, those who knew him, that he was intelligent and sensitive and had musical abilities that were overshadowed only by his political career. So, always more than meets the naked eye. Then there was Thomas Jefferson. And what was interesting about him actually wasn't a hobby. He was proficient in several languages, a real polyglot, French, Italian, Spanish, and German. Very interested in linguistics and studied ancient languages like Latin and Greek and even Old English. And documents that were found posthumously in his library suggested that he was also interested in Arabic, Irish, and Welsh. But how proficient he was in any of that wasn't known. And then there was Ronald Reagan, and we thought we knew a lot about him, yes, on the silver screen and in politics. But before he entered politics, he was a lifeguard and saved 77 lives during 7 summers on duty. Even saved a small girl from drowning while serving as the governor of California. So his transition from lifeguard to Hollywood actor came before what paved the way, I guess, for his political career. So interesting stuff. The zoo is my favorite. Yeah, man, I would have liked to have seen that White House lawn. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Ah, Nick is in Baltimore. I always love to hear from Nick. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up, Nick?
Yeah, thanks, Raleigh. How are you doing?
I can't complain. Are you feeling better?
I feel a lot better. It's been a while, a couple of weeks. Anyway, you know, that's pretty interesting. I never knew that about the presidents.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's why I brought it up, because, you know, I never discussed politics, but I didn't consider this very political. And I thought, you know, you think you know everything because there's so many news channels, but you never hear about the zoo.
No, you never do. You know, but Jimmy Carter, wasn't he a naval engineer?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I thought so.
Nuclear physicist who couldn't say the word nuclear. Nuclear, always nuclear.
But I mean, he was no slouch.
No,
bright guy.
Absolutely not. He was very bright. And I think that probably if we had to rate the presidents just on innate goodness, he was a good man. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I'm not going to delve into this, but I don't think he was up to the cutthroat task of politics. He was actually too good.
I think
too good
what it
guy.
Is too.
Yeah.
When they get in there, they have ideas, but when they get in there, all of a sudden. You know, that's not how the system works.
Well, and some of them are equipped to play ball. And if you're really good-hearted and all that, you don't do so well in that cutthroat environment.
No,
yeah.
Not at all. You know, I wanted to, I told John I wanted to talk about restaurants. I think I wrote you a letter last night about that.
Yeah.
Restaurants I remember as a kid. Well, one big one was Howard Johnson's. Whatever happened to them?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, actually, the last one closed in 2022, so there was one at Lake George, New York, until then. I was interested in them, too, because they were the largest U.S. chain in the 1960s and even the 1970s. They had over 1,000 locations, but what caused them to go bad? Well, I think there were a variety of things, one of which is, much like Hot Shops, and we can talk about that later, too, one of the things that Hojo excelled in was having those contracts to be on those highways. And so they were great locations. And of course, the highways switched away most of the states from the sit-down restaurants. So that was probably part of it. But the other thing, And you know, this happens to virtually every business that's fat and happy, that's doing real well. I was talking with John about this earlier today, not about restaurants, but in general, companies that miss the boat because they don't see what's coming. They don't innovate. And so what you had was a lot of competitors, including the faster food chains and the fast food chain. And, you know, beyond not innovating and somewhat of a failure in customer service at the various locations, it was just over. And they didn't see the handwriting on the wall. But how often that comes. We're talking about, like, for instance, Blockbuster is a perfect example. Man, mm-hmm. Blockbuster was making a literal fortune, but it just, they never really were able to capitalize on, wait a minute, they're not going to have to come to our brick and mortar store. You know, the idea of streaming and all that. They just, they were fat and happy they didn't have to do that. But then again, think about this. I think the only time you hear about a great innovator is when they got nothing to lose. You know, like radio, we always talk about a Todd Storrs or a Gordon McClendon. Neither of them had anything on the line. They had worthless little AM stations. So I think Howard Johnson's was doing far too well and didn't notice the tide was turning. And so
they didn't see the changes
coming. The decline started, and it was a slow decline. And it really started in the early 80s. And one by one, they were closing. And so this last one in Lake George, March of 2022, closed. Before that, the last one that had closed in 2016 was in Bangor, Maine. And so the hotel brand still exists. And not, obviously, as Howard Johnson's, as in the person who was Howard Johnson. Wyndham took over the name, and they operate 300 locations as Howard Johnson's.
Oh, okay.
So the hotels are there. You know, well, again, the name is there. But Howard Deering Johnson was the guy. And, you know, I'd say what I would attribute to his success are twofold. Number one, he was an early franchiser. He understood the value of franchising. But the other thing, roadside dining. You know, like they say in real estate, location, location, location. Well, in restaurants, couldn't be more true.
Mm-hmm.
So it was branded. It was consistent. You know, when you go to Howard Johnson's, let's say you're driving down the turnpike in the New Jersey Turnpike, or maybe you're in Massachusetts or wherever, you see the Howard Johnson, you knew exactly what you were going to get.
Well, you know, we used to hit it in on the way to Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania Turnpike.
And on the Turnpike, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I always loved to go there.
Yeah.
It was great. This is in the 60s now.
Right. Well,
and I remember going in the 70s.
Right.
When I was in college, there was a Howard Johnson's near Towson State, and I used to always go there. And in fact, there was an Arthur Treat. I loved Arthur Treat.
Oh, yeah, I did too. Yeah. But, you know,
I
think most of the sit-down restaurants along the various highways just were phased out due to the food court. You know, four different fast food places, no waiting. And, you know, that was really true for hot shops. In fact, we know that hot shops are owned by Marriott, but actually hot shops predated them. It was the Marriott family, but they started in 1927. They started actually with a six-stool A&W root beer stand. And then they got into the hot shops, and that was the corporate name. They didn't change it to Marriott Corporation until 67. And you know, they did very well, but, you know, here come the 80s, and what they did, they started to see the decline in the late 60s. But unlike Howard Johnson's, they said, well, if you can't beat them, join them. And they rebranded them as Roy Rogers, a lot of them.
Oh, that's what happened.
Yeah, a lot of them. And the last original hot shops closed in 1999, and that was Marlow Heights. They did. They turned them into Roy Rogers. Get your trigger burger here.
It didn't, that was Marriott. Didn't Marriott Corporation wind up with Roy Rogers, some of the Roy
Rogers?
Well,
that's what I'm saying. That's what they did. They took the hot shops and converted them to Roy Rogers. Marriott also did a lot of things that people didn't realize. They were probably the best purveyor of in-flight meals. Used to be in America, you had, when you were getting on any of the carriers, there were three choices. There was Marriott in-flight, and that meant you were going to get the mess meal. And then there was Sky Chef and Dobbs House. And those were the three. And for years. And then Marriott got into and is still into institutional food, like not only nursing homes, but a lot of these, you know, assisted living or those type of adult facilities where you're basically on your own, but you can have meals. Well, very often it's Marriott who is supplying those meals.
Oh, okay. Just a side question. Do some of those assisted living places actually have restaurants in there, or do they just have dining halls?
I don't know of any that have actual restaurants like the fast food place, though there are so many now, I would assume that every variety of them probably would find that. But the thing with the better ones is that they're not dining halls where you sit down and you got choice of three entrees or something. You literally are eating off a menu, and your choices are wide and varied. But those are deluxe bucks places. You're going to pay for that. You know, as far as that goes.
Yeah. I got just a couple of radio notes real quick, and I know you're going to hit a break pretty soon. Still nothing on BT.
No, isn't that strange? And they promised, and I'll be very curious what they're going to do with that. And again, I haven't looked at it. I was said on the other night I would, and life got in the way. But I'm curious about that tower site. You know, firstly, I don't even know if Radio 1 owns that tower site. But if they do, that makes me wonder what the future holds in many levels.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, because, they did the same thing with WIBC in Indianapolis,
isn't that the truth? Yes, 1070. You betcha. Although, I'll tell you, I worked at that 1070. I worked there for a year doing late nights. And I'll tell you what, their nighttime signal was not desirable. Of course, I had the job because they were directional and I had a first-class license so I could take the meter readings. That's the only reason they hired me. And that was fine. But at night, it was not a good signal.
Well, I used to get them here.
Yeah, well, that you would, but it was, just overall didn't blanket anything, including all of Indianapolis metropolitan area.
I mean, it was 10,000 watts.
Yeah, at directional. And but in the day, oh, man, Radio Indiana, you could hear them anywhere in the state in the day.
Okay, and the other thing, a friend of mine told me that on wins, they put the news ticker back, but only on the AM side. I don't know if that's true or not, but
that's interesting.
That's
interesting. All right.
Because of the older demographic, supposedly.
Yeah.
That remember the news ticker from.
Of course. You know, this goes back to Tony Graham. Give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. So, anyway, that's what I had tonight, and I've enjoyed it, and I appreciate your time.
Oh, absolutely. It's always wonderful to hear from you. And I'm still going to look to see if Radio 1 owns that tower site, because there's nothing easily in evidence that says that, and I think that may be part of the story.
I'll look it up. I'll do some homework on
it. All right, good deal. Well, we'll compare notes later.
Hey, thanks.
Okay, thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593. We got Cindy in Chicago. Chris is in Greenwood. Time for you, too. I hope you'll call 8888-ROLLYE on WGN Radio.
Oh, the way I feel tonight, you better wrap me up good and tight in your arms.
In your arms.
In your arms.
In your arms.
Just like a bee in a honeycomb, I'm gonna make myself right at home. In your arms.
In your arms.
In your arms.
In your arms.
Well, it don't take much to keep me satisfied. Just a little bit of love and that's a bonfire. In your arms keep me tangled up all the time like a kitten with a ball of twine. Baby, that's where I wanna stay for the rest of my natural days. In your arms.
In your arms.
In your arms.
In your arms.
Thank you.
hearts are on fire, and your arms keep me tangled up all the time like a kitten with a ball of twine. Yeah, baby, that's where I wanna stay for the rest of my natural days. In your arms.
In your arms.
In your arms.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Elvis Presley, 1961 RCA. The album was Something for Everybody. And who was it who requested that? Yeah, I didn't think of this on my own. Andy in Norwich. All right, Andy. So there you go. And Aaron Schroeder wrote that, and he wrote, well, a number of things, but including It's Now or Never and several other Elvis hits, too. So there's In Your Arms for Andy. All right, so 888-876-5593. Gary is in Elmhurst. Gary, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, thank you. Good to be on. Called you a few other times.
Yes.
I was enjoying the Howard Johnson discussion.
Yeah.
And I was remembering that in the 70s, early 70s, it seemed like most of the Howard Johnsons in Chicagoland were converted to something called the Ground Round.
Oh, really? Okay.
Which was a peanut shell on the floor kind of hamburger,
yeah, sure,
puppy place.
Sure.
Do you remember those?
Yes, absolutely. And it was a franchise as well. And I wonder, because how most of those Howard Johnsons were franchised, I wonder if the franchisee in Chicago didn't drop Howard Johnson and go with Ground Round.
Oh,
I mean,
that makes sense.
I don't know, but that's what I was thinking. And that started about 1969. And like you say, it was that all you could eat popcorn and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Kind of hippie-ish.
Yeah.
Stuff.
they went bankrupt in the early 2000s. But which is a shame because some of that stuff was good. The baby back ribs. And
yeah, I really enjoyed it.
We
went there on dates all the time.
Absolutely. And they had the 2-for-1 burger nights. So. And I think that the only ones left are probably like in Bismarck or Minot, although there might be one in Ohio too. But that was the deal there. And I think that it was founded by Howard Johnson's, by the chain, as another thing to franchise. So I think that probably what happened is they just switched to that. So I'm pretty sure Howard Johnson's originated Ground Round.
Okay. So. And then there was another thing called JoJo's, which was sort of a Denny's,
yes,
Golden Bearish type place.
Right.
And I was thinking that was Howard Johnson related also.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember
who
got that, but because I know that it was a guy who came from Denny's, I mean, like really came from Denny's, like had the majority of the stock when it started, that kind of thing, and he sold it and started two things. They started JoJo's and Noggles. And so, and then a lot of the JoJo's got rebranded as Coco's.
Okay.
So, absolutely. So it was, you know, they say it was a spinoff of Denny's. Well, no, I think the guy just sold his stock and started a competing chain. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's, but yes, absolutely. I remember them.
They were fun places.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because just like fashion or everything else, food chains tend to go in and out of fashion, you know, like Steak and Ale for a while was big, except if you were in Tennessee when you couldn't put ale in the name, so it was Jolly Ox, you know, things like that. But, you know, there were, and TGI Fridays is still around, but doesn't have the cachet that it once did. That's for darn sure. So,
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, so things just come. I don't know what's really hot right now. Do you?
I really don't. I mean, Chili seems to be on a bit of a rebound, but
yeah, and they've been around a while, and good for them because I say rebound is the right word for that. Yes, they survived.
Yeah.
Yes, but yeah, I was just thinking, who's the king of mid-price restaurants now?
I don't know. Maybe Olive Garden maybe is in there somewhere, but that's kind of different.
Now we're getting into those Darden restaurants like what's the fish one? I can't think of the fish one now, but there is a fish one. And Olive Garden, actually, I think part of their success is they're a slightly lower price point.
Uh-huh.
So you can get in and out of Olive Garden a little cheaper. But I think Olive Garden, because that's Darden, so that would be Olive Garden, Longhorn, Capital Grill, Ruth Chris, Bahama Breeze, And there's a couple others. So they spun off the Red Lobster. That was the one they used to be with. They spun that off.
Okay, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I knew there was a fish in it somewhere. But anyway, I don't know who owns them now. But they were big Darden property for years. Yeah, it's interesting. And then, of course, today, man, you go to fast food, two people fast food, and it's not unusual. It's close to $40. I don't know what's cheap about that. So I think And so probably the mid-price people, mid-price is what we'd consider out of sight. Not going to do that. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Interesting stuff. Yeah. All right. I'm delighted that you called.
Anyway, good memories.
Yes, you betcha.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. You know, Darden's in Orlando, and the neat thing about their gift cards is they're interchangeable, so you know you can do all that. But so you know, if you want to go to Ruth's Chris, man, that's an expensive gift card. All right, but still good. And who would have ever known that lasted? Because originally that was Chris Steakhouse, and it was in New Orleans. And Chris sold it to Ruth, I forget her last name, and she, because Chris Steakhouse was so well named, that's how it became Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. And still around. If I had to have guessed, that's probably not the one I would have picked, but nothing wrong with it, that's for sure, but I just didn't think it had that kind of staying power, but it sure proved me wrong. So we've got, let's see, Rita. Rita is in Harwood Heights. All right, and now my magic twanger's not cooperating, so why is that? All right, Rita, welcome back to WGN Radio. Rita.
Hello.
There you are. Hi, Rita.
Hello, here I am.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I was listening last night. I didn't get in on the full program. I frequently can't get in on the full programs. But anyway, I came in one night, and I was outside in this awful cold dealing with a rental car.
Uh-huh.
And I came in, and you had apparently just played something of Elvis Presley. And I could have kicked myself. I wanted to listen to that. And then another time I came in, and you were playing something else that was really, really good. And I got in on the tail end of that. But last night, I came in, and I'm sitting here, and I'm hearing that nurse was on.
Cynthia,
and
yes.
She was saying how she had, the nurses are no longer considered to be nurses from
not that they're not nurses. They're not designated as professional.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I busted my buns to get through my nursing.
Yes.
And I didn't have any parents to pay for anything. I had to get my own scholarships. I had to get loans from the state of Illinois. And then when I had to pay those back, I had to work for the Department of Mental Health. I really worked hard. And then I did trauma nursing for a while. And I was teaching for a while. And then the last thing I was doing was working with oncology patients on a night shift.
Yeah, no.
So my whole social life and everything was gone. Because I wanted to be a nurse, and it was a good profession.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And I looked into this after the show to find out exactly what the deal was. And we won't spend a lot of time on it because it's quite political. But it had to do with the Department of Education making some changes. And these are effective July of this year, so they haven't gone into effect yet. And what they are doing is excluding nursing from the official federal classification of professional degree. Now, when I say professional degree, I'm not talking about like your BA or things like that, your advanced degree. And the reason that they're doing this is that it limits student loans for advanced nursing degrees to $100,000 lifetime cap. So rather than $200,000, which is the designated professions like medicine or law, if you're going to law school, you can have up to $200,000 in student debt. Well, if you're now in nursing, and again, this is the graduate programs of nursing, like if you're going to be a nurse practitioner or a certified registered nurse anesthetist, things like that, where many colleges will have in their School of Nursing degrees for this that go beyond the standard BA and RN degrees that you would get, or BS degrees. Mm-hmm. Right? And so what they're saying is it's a lower lifetime federal borrowing limit compared to doctors, lawyers, and all that. So that's what they mean by that. And they say it's common sense limits and guardrails on future student loan borrowing. But it's horrible the way this is being stated and sold. Because when you say
I had all my degrees. You know,
of course.
I was And I wasn't being paid any better. I really wasn't.
Right. Well, and that's actually part of their logic. They're saying you probably won't be, and therefore having $200,000 in student debt is not a good investment. They're probably not wrong about that. But they're just framing it in such a way that is abhorrent to say, well, nurses are, you know, RNs are not professional. No, this is just not true. And I don't think it's what they're trying to say, but it has to do with the classifications for how much student loan you can incur. Now, that's another subject, and again, for something that's a more political show, but the idea of coming out of college and having six figures of student debt, this does not compute in my mind. My calculators don't go that high.
Yeah.
So
I did all mine part-time and the night school, and then...
Well, sure, and those of us longer of tooth, you know, we didn't pay a fraction of that, even if we were in private schools. I mean, where it is now is just an insane amount of tuition costs. So I get that, but I think they probably needed to have a PR ace in on this bill to probably term it a little bit differently, because I don't blame Cynthia for saying this is wrong. Of course it's wrong, but I don't think it's what they mean.
Okay. The only thing I wanted to know, you know, there's that program that comes, we used to have on WGN at night. It was Frank Sinatra Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And now on Friday nights, there's that, I've forgotten his name, Dog Man, is it?
Wolfman Jack.
Wolfman Jack, yeah. And he does play some good music sometimes.
Yeah.
And he played, and then I also sometimes can pick up that station from, it's called LaPorte in Deniandale,
okay.
Chicago.
Okay.
I can only barely get it sometimes, and other times it comes through really clear. But both of those stations, both he and this, what did you call him? Dogman?
No, Wolfman Jack. And by the way, you're talking about him like you think he's actually playing anything. He's been dead since July 1st, 1995. So these are replays.
Okay, because he played a song that I really liked, and also this place in Indiana, they played the same song, and it's called You Are the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me.
Okay.
And I don't know if you can look that up and play that again. I'd love to hear that again.
Yeah, it's Gladys Knight and the Pips, Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me.
Yeah, the best thing that has ever happened to me.
Yeah, that's Gladys Knight.
You are the best thing that happened
to me. Yeah, absolutely. I've had my share of life's ups and downs, but fate's been kind. The downs have been few. I guess you could say that I'm lucky. Well, I guess you could say that it's all because of you. That's how
it opens. Every time I hear that, I cry because the love of my life died when he was 52.
Oh.
And I think about, you know, all of that and what things were like back then.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah, absolutely. And as time goes on, the memories become even sweeter because we tend to emphasize the good times.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right, so let me write this down so we can get for Rita, Gladys Knight, Best Thing That Ever Hurt Me. Okay.
And then, you know, the other thing is, James on the South Side, see, I was in that rehab for too long. And I couldn't get any of the radio stations when I was in rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all of a sudden I came back, and I don't hear James on the South Side anymore.
Well, he has been calling occasionally, and here's what's the deal. He's been displaced. He's had to move, and I don't think he's found a permanent location yet, and he also hasn't had a radio, but he's been calling periodically, and he'll be back on his feet and back at it, but he's still with us.
Oh, I miss him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like him.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, hopefully.
And he used to like, who was it? He always liked.
Tell you exactly. It's a Patsy Cline.
Patsy Cline, yeah. So maybe you could play a song from me to him.
Okay.
A Patsy Cline call.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm writing that down from Rita. Okay, you bet, Rita, we'll do it.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. Okay, bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh on WGN Radio.
But been kind. The downs have been few. I guess you could say that I've been lucky. Oh, I guess you could say that it's all because of you. If anyone should ever write my life story, to me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Indeed, Gladys Knight Sabrina in Harwood Heights. Heard it as soon as she asked for it. 1974 on Buddha, don't you know? All right, we got Fran in Austin. So, Fran, what's up tonight?
I am still here tonight.
Yay! All right, all right. Well, I don't blame you for not waiting, but I really thank you for attempting to save me. It meant a lot.
Well, I didn't really have much to say, but I was like, okay, I know that once I get on, I'll find something to say. Poor Raleigh's trying to...
Yeah, really, I know. That talking to myself gets old real quick. So thank you, thank you.
Of course, sometimes when you're doing that, though, some of the stuff you say is interesting enough that I just want... I'll listen, but then I think, well, I can hear it while I'm on hold.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. Oh, man.
But one of the things I wanted to talk about was nurses, because I just, when I had my heart attack and when a couple of other things happened, it was the nurses that got me through it.
Yes.
You know, and there's been other times when I've had to go to the ER for various things and the nurses are doing everything and the doctor comes in, you know, and, you know, makes his pronouncement kind
right.
of, you know, and... You can, I mean, you know, the nurses will attempt to answer your questions.
And they'll just be there. I mean, you know, when it's...
They'll just be there. I remember, you know, a couple in particular that, you know, like she was... I was kind of panicky, and she was rubbing my back, and she was, you know, you're going to be fine, you know, and just take a deep breath and... And then the southern nurse said, "Well, if you don't think this doctor's listening to you, if you don't like what he's saying, there's hundreds of doctors in this hospital."
Exactly.
And you know, and one of the nurses said, she almost came right out and said, "No, he's minimizing you. He's not listening to you."
Right.
She almost came out and she said everything, you know, around
right,
it.
Exactly.
I could tell, you know, what she was trying to say. And she gave me kind of subtly gave me some ideas on how to deal with this guy. The last time I was in the hospital, they were taking a beating from this woman who was just verbally abusive.
Oh, yeah.
And I could understand why she was when I heard some of what she
was upset
had
about.
To say.
Yeah.
And she was very scared. And she does what I do. When I get really scared, I go to anger.
Right.
You know, because I'm trying to, I'm trying to get something done, and I can't, and I feel powerless.
Oh, yeah.
And
no, that level of frustration. Hang on a minute. Don't
right.
go away. Stay right where you are, and I relate. We'll put
okay.
it right there after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Selling your eyes.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that was an absolute soap opera, and some night we'll tell it. But there are at least 20 voices on Sally Go Round the Roses, and yet Abner Spector's special, to say the least. 1963 on Tough, and that was Jack in St. Charles who wanted to hear it. And back to Fran and Austin. All right. So carry on.
Yeah, we were talking about nurses, but I think one time we were at the hospital. It was when it doesn't matter what it was for, but anyway, when we left, Gary thanked the nurse that had been taking care of us, and he said, you know, thank you. You know, we really appreciate you, and she was kind of taken aback. She just kind of stopped, like, oh, like, what? You know, you're thanking me?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm thinking, you know, people, you know, need to thank their nurses and nurses' aides. And, I mean, yeah, sometimes I've run into some of them that were real,
oh, yeah,
well, witches. But... you know, for the most part. And then my primary right now, at first I thought, oh, I'm not, you know, this isn't going to work. She's a nurse practitioner. Actually, I think I'm getting better care from her than I did from my previous primary doctor.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Because I actually, at least I feel that she's hearing me. I mean, maybe she's not, but I feel that she is. And so I was going to try to, you know, I was going to see her temporarily and then try to find a regular doctor. And I thought, no, I'm fine with her.
Right. Exactly. You know, for a general practitioner, for your primary, there's absolutely nothing wrong with a good nurse practitioner. Nothing at all.
Yeah. I think doctors, a lot of times, they're the stars of the show, and they know it, and you know,
oh, yeah,
they kind of get a little bit. And I feel sorry for some of the nurses that have to deal with these, you know, doctors with
superior
attitude. And it doesn't matter whether it's a male doctor or a woman doctor; they just, you know,
yeah,
I'm the doctor, I know what's best, you
yeah
know. And but anyway. I'm trying to find out, and I'm not making requests on these because I don't think you could play them, or maybe you wouldn't want to, but there are a couple of things that were played on the Dr. Demento show that I'm trying to find. One was a song called Banana Oil.
Von DeLeith.
That one, and then there's another one that he used to play, and I don't know what the title of it was, but it was I Drunk, Was He Handsome, and Did My Ma Give Me Hell?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And
yes. And I think that might have been Parlor Tricks.
Who was that?
Parlor Tricks.
Oh, okay.
I think. Let me see if it's on here. But yeah, Parlor Tricks. I don't know why that comes to mind, and maybe it's totally wrong, which is, you know, probably most likely. But let's see. Most of this stuff that Barry had played, that Dr. Demento played, are on, like, Dr. Demento basement tapes and things like that. So a lot of it's available.
I used to have, and unfortunately I had to get rid of it, but I had a box set of Dr. Demento stuff. It went from, I think, the 40s to the 80s,
and then
they had a Christmas album.
Absolutely. It was under the auspices of Capitol. A friend of mine was running Capitol at the time, and I have that, too, on vinyl. I've got all of those. But no, that's not on any of them. It was later. It was later when they started putting out CDs, and they were absolutely running out of stuff. That's when, you know, that stuff started surfacing. Let's see. Yeah, let's see.
But you've been playing, you know, a little bit of that 20s and 30s stuff lately, and I thought of those songs.
All right, let's see about this. You'll tell me.
sweet young thing of 16 thought that she'd go out one night alone to get the thrill.
That's not the version I remember.
Okay, yeah, it's live, but it's going to be the song.
She met a youth, a bit of couth, although
there's a live version of it. All right. That's one version of it. But here's the deal. The song comes from Ziegfeld Follies. That's how
what was that?
The song comes from the Ziegfeld Follies. So most of the versions that I've got here are going to be live versions by different people.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, because the one I remember was not. And this woman had a real interesting voice. And it was just, you know, it was one of those old crackly, you know, from the 20s.
Well, it is. It's, it absolutely is, because that's Ziegfeld Follies time. Absolutely right.
Right.
And so I'll see. There might be something even on YouTube. I wouldn't be surprised. But Dorothy Dell was the key on that. She was in Ziegfeld Follies. So I'll bet you the Dorothy Dell version. Let's see if that's on here. Was she drunk? Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Oh, interestingly, on YouTube, there's a lot of information on Dorothy Dell, but apparently not this. But
yeah, that was interesting. I couldn't quite. These new headphones I got, they're great for me being able to use my landline phone without having to hold it forever. It kind of hurts my hands, so I got these. Finally found some headphones, but I probably, you know, it's like I can't hear very well on them, so I couldn't quite pick out the lyrics on that, but unfortunately. But
right. But yeah, that's a Ziegfeld Folly thing, but let's, okay, no, wrong song. I'm looking here because she's all over YouTube, apparently, but apparently not doing this. But yeah, I'm a black sheep who's blue. I remember that. Okay, well, here, this is another live version by the Cheek Jazz Band. We'll avoid that. Let's move on and see if we can find Dorothy somewhere. Oh man, I don't see it. But I'm sure. Let's go to Discos and see if we can. If I can buy it, I'll buy it. So let's see, Dorothy Dell.
Yeah, it was not a live version, that
that
I know for sure, but,
right. Right.
And,
it probably was something like a Ziegfeld Follies compendium, is my guess.
And then I'm also looking for Ice Cream, You Scream, We All Scream
for Ice Cream.
Ice Cream.
Yeah, right. okay, let's see it. Dorothy Dell made this famous in 1934, and so here, I don't do SoundCloud, but apparently, well, I'll bet you that's the same thing that I have, though. I'll bet you that same Parlor Tricks deal. She did that on Broadway, but, and she was famous for it. Alice Faye, I think, sang it, too. And
sounds familiar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, she was a trip. So let's see about that. Maybe I can come up with that. That'd be nice. Okay. No. Darn. Okay. Why wouldn't it be? Well, she was married to Phil Harris. That's why I liked her. But that sounded like a song he would embrace. But anyway. yeah. All right, I'll find it somewhere. That's my mission.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and there's a little funny story. Last night Karen called in. She was asking for Forget You.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
What I know what the original lyric is. Well, one time Gary and I were in the Verizon store and Pink had a song out effing perfect.
Oh, yeah.
and they changed it to less than perfect.
Okay.
You know, less than perfect. But anyway, so they were playing it. They were playing music, you know, in the Verizon store, and all of a sudden that song came on, and it was the effing perfect one. I never saw somebody run so fast to change that. It was hilarious, and we can't go to a you know, the Verizon store or anything else or nowadays without thinking of, you know, it's just hilarious.
Oh, sure.
Cause she just, I mean, they, you know, they were helping somebody, and they said, just a minute.
That is hilarious. Now, I've got the I Scream, You Scream, and that was actually Fred Waring. That was a zillion years ago.
And you know, I love that one. And I think they're the same one that did this one about collegiate. Yes, yeah, we are collegiate.
Yeah,
nothing
that,
intermediate.
Yeah, that was absolutely, that's Fred Waring, you betcha. And it's Pennsylvanians, of course. I've got that as well. So those I've got.
And then there was another one. Did they do that one? And her tears fell like wine. Mm. It sounded like the same group in the background. It was another female vocalist. But her tears fell like wine, and her tears fell like wine. She's a real sad tomato. She's a busted Valentine.
No. That's not Fred Waring. That's Stan Kenton, and the vocalist is Anita O'Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And her tears flowed like wine was the title of that.
That's what it was, yeah. And her tears flowed like wine.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't heard it in a long time.
Absolutely.
But.
That's Stan Kenton with Anita O'Day.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I
I'm writing Collegiate and I'm writing Ice Creams. We'll get those on. All right. Waring.
Okay. Well, at least I know what they are.
Yes, you do, and you can probably easily find them. But now I'll be on a mission because it seems like the Alice Faye one should be on vinyl somewhere. I should be able to find that. So I'll look.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds
thanks.
Good.
Appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Good
Bye.
Deal. So, yeah, it should be. 888-876-5593. We got Eduardo, and we got Stacy and Victor and Cindy and Chris. And now, as I say goodbye to Fran here, there is one line available for you on WGN Radio.
When a sweet young thing of 15 thought I'd stepped out one night alone to get the thrills of a life I'd missed. I met a youth, a bit uncouth, although he seemed alright. I'd known him but a moment when we kissed. When I got home next day with a swollen head, my girlfriend asked if I'd had fun. I said, was I drunk? Was he handsome? And did my ma give me hell? Did I get a thrill and am I still a quiver? Was he rough? Did I care? And am I glad I fell? Every time I think of him, do I shiver? Was he hot? And was I? And would he stand for maybe he would not? Did I lie? Does he still think I'm a baby? If I was, am I still? Do I care? What a thrill. Was I drunk? Was he handsome? And did my ma give me hell?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Steve Lane, Southern Stompers. Not from the South, it's UK group. And Michelle is the lyricist, but 1969, and it sounds like something Dr. Domena would have played. So maybe we've hit on it or not. We'll have Fran let us know. But in the meantime, we defer to first-time callers, and Ken is one of those in Vernon Hills. Welcome to WGN Radio, Ken.
Thank you, Raleigh. I have a question you can help me with, and people think I'm crazy, but I'm trying to remember a singing duo back when Johnny Carson was still on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And their story was they were lounge singers, straight lounge singers at a small casino, kind of like a stage in the corner of the casino room, like what's her name was in the Nun movies.
Sally Field.
Not Sally Field, the Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, okay, that more recently. Okay.
Yeah, while she was in the casino and a singer, and then she went into witness protection as a nun. But
yeah.
they had a scene where she was singing in this corner of the room, and no one was paying attention to them, and that's what was happening to these two singers. And they were told that their contract was being canceled, and so they decided they had two sets that night, and they would go on together. And the one gentleman would sing a song, the first line in English, and the other guy, I believe, was French-Canadian, and he sang it in French. And they went on like that through the songs, and all of a sudden, the area in front of them was a bar, and a few tables started filling up. And by the time they got to the second session, it was standing room only, and their career took off. And I can't find the name. They only were around a short period of time because one had to retire due to health reasons.
Hang on a minute. Don't stay with me. I got the news, but stay with me, and we'll be back in moments right here. Well, a few minutes. Don't go away. We'll pick it up there right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Bonsoir mesdames, mesdemoiselles, messieurs, bonsoir à tous. Voici que je voudrais vous chanter une petite chanson que je viens d'apporter, et c'est avec une grande joie.
Mansour, I think I should tell you that we don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Ralph, I would like to sing a beautiful little French ballad right now.
Oh, then I'll step aside.
Ralph, I need your help.
Well, I don't know nothing about the French language, Tony.
You don't know nothing about the English language either. I have the whole song right here on the paper, Ralph.
Written by Charles de Gaulle? I found you in a common market. It's a ballad. Well, I can only do it phonetically, Tony. If I louse you up, we're still friends, right?
Oh, évidemment.
Victor Mon, is he in town? Can I have a French arpeggio, Ray?
Monsieur Bon Bon, t'as le rythme dans la peau. Monsieur Bon Bon, c'est toi qui donne le tempo. Ça balance comme ça. Quand tu fais un, deux, trois, je vais bing, ding, ding, ding.
Oh no, bum 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 bum.
Monsieur Bon Bon, ça balance terriblement avec des bim 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 et des du 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 du. Monsieur Bon Bon, tridon des jeunes inconnus.
Bing, ding, ding, ding. Oh no, bum 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 bum.
When the Beatles sing on every record, you will always hear them sing, yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Monsieur Bon Bon, cette fois je suis dans le mouvement avec des bim 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 et des du 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 du. Monsieur Bon Bon, tridon des jeunes inconnus.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh no.
Monsieur Bon Bon,
WGN Radio, Sandler and Young, and I think that is exactly who Ken is talking about. Sandler and Young.
Yes, I couldn't find their names or anything. I searched the websites with duos over the years, and they never came up. Sandler and Young,
yeah,
yes.
Tony Sandler was Belgian. And Ralph Young was like from the Bronx. And so that was the deal. And actually, you're right about Vegas. I think it was Polly Bergen who had her in her show at the Desert Inn, had them in. And they did pretty well with that. And then they were at the Coconut Grove and the Ambassador in Los Angeles and other things like that. And I think the guy who was president of Capitol at the time, Alan Livingston, signed them. So there were several albums on Capitol. So, yeah, Sandler and Young. And they did a number of things, including, you know, commercials. They did a General Motors commercial in the early 70s. And I might have only been seen in Canada. I don't know, but I remember it. So, yeah, they were regulars. And they were very often, I don't know about The Tonight Show, but they were regulars on The Ed Sullivan Show. And I think they must have been on The Mike Douglas Show like 36 times. So, yeah, they were around. And they also hosted, remember when they used to have Kraft Music Hall? Well, one of those seasons was from London, and they were the host of that. So they retired, obviously. And I think that one went to Palm Springs. I don't know, and I would assume.
Yeah, one of them had health. Yeah. They were older gentlemen, and one of them had health problems, and he had to retire. So they weren't around that long, but got very popular there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ralph Young, when he died, and that's been, my God, it was like 2008, right about the time before the banks crashed and all that, he died. He was 90 years old. So, yeah, he did well. I don't know. I assume that Tony Sandler went back to Belgium, but I don't know. So, yeah, that's who they are. And you can easily find them.
Now I can.
Yes,
now that
can.
I know their names.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
A big help. It's been bugging me for a long time.
Well, now you know. And I hope you will call me again.
Will do.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So that's the Sandler and Young. Yeah. Oh, they were real big. And mostly, you know, on stage and stuff like that. Vegas, occasionally Miami Beach, things like that. All right. So 888-876-5593. Stacy in Algonquin. What's up tonight, Stacy? Well, whatever it is, Stacy's gone to sleep. And who could blame her? I hope you're sleeping well, Stacy, and we'll talk to you next week. Eduardo is in Tampa. What's up, Eduardo? No, this is not good. Eduardo is not here. Well, I don't know. Let's say every time that happens, I kind of get a chill down my spine, and I think maybe it's the phones. So we'll see. Cindy usually hangs on, so we'll see if she's there. So, Cindy, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, I have a whole game, you know, I'm all over the board tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first thing I want to ask you about, maybe it wasn't on the channel, the 9 o'clock news on WGN, but it was on, I think, the 5 o'clock news. And, you know, I never forget, you know, I never forget people who are missing, you know, I like when they bring it up, I remembered them. But did they solve that murder? I think she was a developmentally challenged girl. I don't even think she could speak. And her name was Precious, and she disappeared with her cousin, I think, or her, when they were going to the, it must have been 15, did they solve that?
Well, I do listen to Dateline a lot, but I need a little more information than that.
Well, I think her name was Precious. She was like, this happened. She was, I think they disappeared. It must be 15 years ago. They were just gone. It happened in Chicago.
Okay. So
it was on the new, it'll be on again, maybe.
Yeah,
her name was Precious or Diamond or something. The development, and she—they were just going to the convenience store, and they disappeared. And I think it was solved.
And it was in Chicago.
Yeah, it happened in Chicago on the South Side, I think. South Side.
Okay. No. And, you know, I spent a lot of time with Dateline. You'd think that I would know this, but...
I'll call the library. But then, anyhow, I just want to say the nursing profession is one of the most respected professions that there is.
I agree.
And my profession, accounting, I just didn't know when I went into it. It turned out it just went down. Just, but anyhow... Especially after Arthur Anderson failed. But then, anyhow, I think Jacques Pepin worked for Howard Johnson. Didn't he? I think.
I'm sorry. I'm still looking for Precious because I'm like, there's got to be online here somewhere. All right. So there's an awful lot of murdered developmentally disabled girls, but none of them are Precious. All right. So now who are we talking about? I'm sorry. I'll pay more attention. Start over.
Jacques Pepin worked for Howard Johnson. I don't know if I had ever been to one. I was born in 1962. But there was, I think I had been, but it was a ground round 3 blocks from my house. And my father used to take us there constantly.
Yeah.
Like on Sunday, you know, we were, you know, but that, I don't know what year that closed, maybe 2024. When they enclosed the mall, what is it? They enclosed the mall and put a Kohl's there, I think. Yeah.
So, but Jacques Pepin, or however you say it, he did work for Howard Johnson for 10 years for the restaurant chain. He was direct.
He was director of
research and new development. And so what he was there from 1960 to 1970, he was hired to help modernize food production. And he worked along some very well-known chefs to develop menus and recipes. You know, I'll forever hate them because of Hojo Cola, but don't start me. But he worked in the company's test kitchen and famously turned down the position, the reason he was in the news back then, as chef for JFK in the White House, because he took the corporate role at Howard Johnson's instead. And so he began by working at some high volume restaurant in Queens, and that's the deal. So he credited the experience with teaching him about American cuisine and large scale food production.
And I just want to tell you, you just totally, you know, burst my bubble about George Washington.
Why? Why? Because he had a distillery? He wasn't necessarily drinking the product on a regular basis.
Well, was he enabling other people?
Well, I assume that he was selling the stuff, but I don't think he was, luring people to their demise. No.
I don't know. It's just unbelievable to me. But then, I don't know if you, my cousin was reading a history book. I don't remember which. It was an American history book, and he told me a fact that was in the history book about Abraham Lincoln.
All right, you want to tell me what it was?
On his travels. He visited every house with a red light in it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I could even say that, if the FBI
we're talking about houses of ill repute here? Bordello?
And then he married Mary Todd, the debutante. It's not political. It's just culture, American culture, I guess. That's just the way.
So here we have Abraham Lincoln gets impeached for going to a gay brothel, resulting in the first female president in 1857. This is obviously fiction. All right. So this is not real.
This was a history book. It wasn't.
Well, that doesn't mean anything either. But who knows? I guess. And would it really matter? You know, what's important, I guess, is what he does while he's in office. You know.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's just, I don't know. I would like. So. I don't know, idolizing people like they're. You know. I don't know. But then anyhow, A&W went out of business. A&W Root Beer, didn't they?
No.
The one at Woodfield Mall closed. They used to have a salad bar, and I would go there when I worked in Elk Grove Village for the shipping.
They are not out of business. Now, they have had some closures, but there are still over 500 A&W restaurants in North America. And, you have had, like, actually this month in Arizona, one closed in Chandler. I think it was one in the Walmart, but it was inside Walmart there, and it closed. But there are others that have closed, but no, as a chain, that's not true. Now, here's the problem with all this. they became Yum Brands. They were purchased by Yum Brands in 2011.
Oh.
And so whenever this happens, you know, you're going to go through all sorts of changes. But it's a franchise system, and it remains in business. So no, they are not out of business. They are probably not as many. And for people who don't know about Yum Brands, which is a big one, just like when I talk about Darden for the sit-down restaurants and all that, Yum is,
right.
It's KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut are the big ones. No, it's not Burger King.
They swam off Burger King. No, I can't remember.
I don't think Burger King was ever Yum. But I don't know. I'm trying to remember when they would be. You know, they started in Miami. But
anyhow, Wendy's is closing a bunch of restaurants.
No, okay, I just looked this up. No, Burger King was never part of Yum. I didn't think they were. No. Burger King is independent, publicly traded. And, of course, it's Vulture Capital now, too. But that was the deal.
And Wendy's is closing a whole bunch of restaurants.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of companies of all stripes are, you know, rejiggering what they do. But Wendy's is not going away.
No. I think Wendy's is going to be my go-to now.
Oh, all right.
But anyhow, because Taco Bell changed their menu, and they don't have the smaller sandwiches anymore, smaller burrito, whatever it's called, burritos. You know, I'm like, well, I can't eat that much food, and just left.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, I have some songs. You, Redheaded Baby, You Marvelous Girl.
Yeah. Okay. If you say so.
And Can't You See She's Accepted Me, 11:30 Saturday Night.
What? 11:30 Saturday Night's in the lyrics?
Yeah. Can't You See She's Accepted Me, 11:30 Saturday Night. I guess he's at a bar or something.
It's completely unknown to me as far as that goes. Let me try to look for a lyric.
Roaring 20s song.
Oh. All right. 11:30 Saturday Night. I don't know. All right. Let's see. 11:30 Saturday Night.
Can't You See She's Accepted Me or something like that.
Can't You See She's Accepted Me? All right. 20 song, huh?
Oh, yeah, those roaring 20s. Redheaded Baby, You Marvelous Girl.
Okay, wait. Let's
maybe you could find that one.
Maybe I could find either of them. I have no idea, but this is completely unknown to me. But so Can't You See She's Accepted Me and Redheaded what? Baby, You Marvelous Girl.
Baby, you marvelous girl.
All right, I'll look. You never know. But I'll admit complete and total ignorance on those two. But I will search.
Okay.
All right, good to hear from you as always.
Okay.
All right, thanks. All right. Oh, wait. Laura in Des Plaines knows about your missing person, so keep listening because you will hear all about it. All right, good deal. So there you have it. Can't wait to talk to Laura about that. Who's missing? All right, well, we'll find out. So many murders, so little time. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
girl, red-headed baby, my brain's in a whirl. There's no one looking, the lights are low. I'm all on fire, you sweet suppressed desire. Red-headed baby, I can't get enough. I'll say your stuff is divine. Hug and kiss me and then start all over again. Oh, you red-headed baby, be mine.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, 1931, so there it is, Redheaded Baby, and that's Gene Cardos Orchestra. Gene had orchestras under half a zillion names, I mean, at least 30. But that was, I think, the first thing he recorded, 1931, Redheaded Baby. All right, so that was for Cindy. We found it. Now, before we do anything else, actually, we're going to do something else, I can tell, but we can start before the news. And so, Laura in Des Plaines, give us the headlines and then the whole story after the news. So, who is this person?
Yeah, well, I don't have that many details, but I remember two little girls, Diamond, and I thought her name was Tiara, but it's like Tiana.
Okay.
Last name is Bradley.
Okay.
And they were taken from their apartment.
All right, good. Hang on a minute. That's exactly where we'll pick it up with Diamond and whoever she is, the Bradley girls. Don't go away. Yeah. All right, so all the news when you want to hear it, right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Good morning or evening, friends. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to
WGN Radio. I'm Roddy James. And yes, Stevie Wonder. And it was Linda in Richton Park who asked for that. Yes. And she was digesting the news that Jesse Jackson is no longer with us and said, you know, that would be appropriate. Happy to play it. That is from Songs in the Key of Life, 1976, on Tamla. So now, Laura in Des Plaines. So, you know, this is the most convoluted story. During the news, I tried to make sense of it, and it's the kind of thing that just makes your head spin. So what do you know?
Yeah, there's so many details left out. I just remember every now and then my mom would say, whatever happened to those girls? They would be like 25, 30 years old by now.
Oh, right. One of them would be in her 30s, the 10-year-old, and the other one would be like 26, 27. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, well, it sounds like the detective, first of all, the mom left the kids home alone.
Right. Well, she went out to work, and the kids are interesting because the older kid was not the oldest of the four children of this woman. And by the way, four children, she was only 32 years old at the time this was happening. Her oldest child and a middle child were at, I think, a relative's, their grandparents or something. So it was just the 10-year-old and the 3-year-old. And apparently not the first time they'd been alone together. In fact, at one time, the 10-year-old was not allowed in school because she was trying to sneak the 3-year-old in with her. So these children spend a lot of time on their own, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm hearing, well, from what I read, a lot of the detectives are retired by now.
Oh, yeah.
And they're kind of looking back and saying, you know what, a lot of this stuff was left out.
Oh, yeah. We're going back, you know, 30 years almost. So, and this boyfriend is really strange to me. George Washington, the boyfriend, and that's his name. Can't do anything about that. But apparently, Tracy, the mother, was really hot to trot for him. Maybe him, not so much. Meanwhile, he's married to a woman named Diamond. And he's been canoodling with Tracy forever. In fact, she named her child Diamond just to kind of, you know, rub it in his face. Well, he denied it was his child. Well, ultimately, a DNA test showed, oh, yes, it's your child. So that was a few months before they went missing.
He made it clear he was not in love with these kids, and he took them camping.
Yeah, which is also, supposedly, that's right. He was not close to the children. He didn't like the children. Yet here he's taking them camping.
And that may have been the end of them.
Well, yeah. In fact, a lot of people are looking at him, but they've never really had enough evidence to implicate him to the point of arresting him. But
right, they checked into sex trafficking and a lot of other things. Nothing turned up. But it looks as if there is evidence that he took them camping by a lake and never to be seen again.
Well, and they found that he purchased the tent. In fact, Tracy claimed she purchased it, and there was no receipt of any of this. And so it was very odd as far as this story of the trip to begin with. Yeah, most of the detectives say what isn't in the story is more important than what is, because there's so many missing parts. So, and the interesting thing is that the two surviving girls said, well, the plan was Diamond and Tianda would go first, and then the following week, Rita and Victoria would go. And the reason for splitting it was that they couldn't afford all four girls to be taken at once. So it was Victoria's 10th birthday, the day after the girls went missing. And so, you know, that cake was purchased in the middle of that as well. And so Rita and Victoria were at their grandmother's house, but Diamond and Tianda were home alone. So, yeah.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think that says something. What are we missing, 1,000 kids a year?
Oh, absolutely. And also, if you're buying the story just the way they told it, if Victoria was the birthday girl, wouldn't it make sense that she was in the first camping trip at the time of her birthday? So it's interesting that she wasn't. And most people who looked at that said, yeah, that timeline doesn't make a lot of sense. And, if they were at their grandmother's house, what were the birthday plans there? You know, it's a 10th birthday. That's a milestone. There's some plans. There got to be some plans. We never find out about plans. They just go missing.
Yeah.
So.
It's unfortunately that a lot of these things just get dropped.
Well, yeah, you know, I guess when you investigate it, if you really can't come up with anything that would definitively lead to somebody, what do you do? There was the babysitter, too, who was also named George, although his nickname was Porgy. And,
are there only so many names to go around?
Apparently so. That's right. So Porgy and Stephen had a few drinks and couldn't remember much about that night, but they were confident saying, oh yeah, the girls were present, at 10:30 at night. But after that, things get fuzzy. No time when, Tracy left her apartment to go over to George's house, calls made to Tracy's home, to and from Tracy's home, one at 2 a.m., which a call was made from Tracy to George. You know, there were all these things, And again, as I say this, if you're listening to this, you're thinking to yourself, I don't understand any of this. That's the point. That's right. And so law enforcement, you know, knows the calls were made, has no idea who made the calls. They know that Diamond did not answer the phone. I'm not sure how they know that, but they know that. So could it have been Tianda? And why would Tianda be calling George? And, you know, now the fact that Tracy was not home, that was factual. She was not home. And the fact that she called to check on the girls at a late hour to make sure they were okay, that's understandable. Now, but why would Tianda call George? And they're saying, well, she might have had his number written down in case she needs to get in touch with her mother. So there's law enforcement just doesn't know.
No, and I suppose if, you know, they're partying and people are drunk, they probably don't remember either.
Yeah, and there's a voicemail, but the interesting thing is law enforcement claimed they never heard the voicemail, nor do they have it in their possession. And a family member say, oh, yeah, I've heard that, but apparently it doesn't exist as far as any way. So did the missing voicemail exist? Is it subterfuge? Is there factual evidence? But it vanished. And days after, and apparently Tracy's sister said it ended up in the wrong hands, whatever that means. And so the detectives asked about that, and everybody, you know, told what they knew. But bottom line is no one has it. Now, but I don't know if you caught this Sheila, who I think is a family member somehow, who claimed she had the voicemail, and she had it in an email. Well, the only thing was the voicemail couldn't be accessed due to a passcode issue, which put her at high risk of losing the voicemail. Now, so you're saying, how did the voicemail wind up in an email? This is 2001. And Sheila said that when she heard the voicemail, she used her cell phone to record the audio of it and then sent it to herself by email. Here is the problem. That wasn't possible in 2001. She wouldn't have had a cell phone that could have recorded this and sent it as an email. It just wasn't, you know, cell phones in the U.S. didn't have that capability at that point. It was not mainstream in 2001.
No, they were cell phones. They weren't smartphones.
Right, right. They're usually flip phones, right. And, you know, to record it and send it by email was just not possible. And so bottom line is the detectives begged her to listen to the voicemail, but it turned up absolutely nothing, of course. So, you know, is there a voicemail? What does it mean? Well, at this point, as far as I'm concerned, who cares? It's not there. We don't know. If Diamond was heard on it, if there were any guests in the apartment at the time, any knocking at the door, all the things they'd be looking for, well, they don't have it. So all this is just, guessing, period. But then, and I agree with this, why would the family lie about a voicemail? What significance is there? You know, because obviously it's not true. We know it's not true in terms of what supposedly occurred. But why would they lie about that? Why would they, what is this? And, you know, a lot of people are saying that only this George Washington, the only one who would have taken the girls out of the apartment. So the voicemail supposedly claims that George is at the door. But George could have been the neighbor George, Porgy, but didn't refer to him as Porgy, referred to him as George. So, Tracy, of course, had lied about being home when she wasn't. Now, that's understandable, because the thing that she's immediately afraid of is she's going to lose the other two kids, that this is child neglect, and they're going to take that away. So part of her lies, you can tell, are self-defense from that standpoint. But people are still looking at that mysterious voicemail, and I don't know how much it matters. So in terms of her not being in school, on and on, we don't know. And to this day, we don't know. There are psychics I know online. There are a few psychics who claim they know the answer. Well, I'll leave you to find it. But officially, nobody knows the answer.
No, one of those things we'll never know.
No. But the only thing I can say with assurance in this, and there's only actually one thing I can say, everything else is complete assumption. But the only thing I can say is Tracy, the mother, abdicated her role and was away when those children should never have been left alone, period. You know that?
Exactly, and yeah. She sold herself out to a boyfriend and picked him over the kid.
Yeah, oh, absolutely that's true. And, you know, she was known to be just crazy about him. And, you know, firstly, when he's denying paternity, and then it turns out that he is the father, and he's upset about that, why on earth, if you're the mother, would you think that he should be anywhere near that child at that point?
Exactly.
You know, because that, to me, that's motive if there ever was.
I don't know. I just wish I could knock some sense into some women's heads.
Oh, God, I know. You know, it's...
Anyway, I hope that answers Cindy's question.
Yeah, and I guess...
Probably more than she bargained for.
The short answer of Cindy's question is, nope, we have no idea. And Diamond, in 2023, would have been 26 years old. That was the deal. And Tianda would have been 32 in 2023 when that story was written. So, you know, she's obviously 35 years old, and Diamond is, you know, about 29. And if they're alive, and that's a very big if, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
And they've got an $80,000 reward still active on it. And obviously there are family members who care deeply and do want to know. But yeah, that mother is a real piece of work. So there you have it. I don't know. But yeah, I haven't heard that one yet on Dateline, but maybe that's because they don't have an answer.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
That's the show that's on Friday night, right?
I don't know. See, on the car we got came with a complimentary XM Sirius subscription, whether we wanted it or not. And the only thing I found out of their God knows how many zillion channels is Dateline. It's 24/7. It's just over and over and over with different cases. And, you know, I have it on in the car. I get in the car. I'm halfway through one episode. You know how it started. I know how it ended. Then another one, I find out how it started. I get out of the car before it ends. You know, will I ever know? Well, I guess if I listen long enough, that episode will come back around. So, yeah, that's what I do. I listen to Dateline.
Well, you can pretty much guess how they all end.
Well, sure. Yeah. Well, obviously, we know from the start that there are murders. But in terms of whether they got off or not, you know, sometimes yay, sometimes nay. And sometimes who did it, you know, and all that. And, you know, it's just sadly the state of radio in America these days that's the best I can find. So now, of course, I'm not within earshot when I'm driving around in Arizona of WGN, or I'd listen to it. But that's not an option for me. So when I hear what is an option for me, it's like, okay, let's try Dateline.
Sure.
All right. Well, Laura, thank you for the information. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Anytime.
Yes.
Talk to you later.
All right. Expiring minds want to know. Yeah. I want to know. And I have a feeling we're not going to know. But yeah, I had no idea. I don't know how I missed that, but I missed that. All right, we'll get to Cleveland Dennis. We'll get to Jean and Dalton. All right, Jean. And hopefully she's feeling better. We'll find out about that. Victor's in Silver Spring. Maddie's in Harwood Heights. Chris is in Greenwood. And they're, actually, the one line available you just got taken. So sit back, relax, enjoy the show. And when somebody hangs up, it'll be time for you to get in on WGN Radio.
Said if I was richer, I'd still be with you.
No, ain't that some shit?
And although there's pain in my chest, I still wish you the best. But forget you. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't afford a Ferrari, but that don't mean I can't get you there. I guess he's an Xbox and I'm more Atari, but the way you play your game. Tell your love.
your boyfriend. See you driving around town with the girl I love, and I'm like, forget you. I just a change in my pocket, it wasn't enough. I'm like, forget you, and forget her too. Said if I was better, I'd still be with you. Oh, wait, that's a shh. And although that's pain in my chest, I still wish you the best.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It was Karen last night who said, will you play CeeLo Green, Forget You? Yeah, the clean version? Well, there you have it. 2010 on Elektra, the CD, or whatever they call them now, the album, The Lady Killer. All right, so we'll be back right after the news right with you on WGN Radio. That file sounds awful, yes, and this song deserves better than that. Yeah, there's over 230 versions of this song, but of course the original, which was Joni James, by the way. Joe Stafford had the hit in 1952, but Joni James did it a month before that. But just a great record. But even though I loved Joe Stafford's version and Joni James too, man, 9 years later, the Duprees, they just absolutely nailed it. Now let's see if we can possibly get a better version of that. We'll see. WGN Radio. All right, and there they are, the Duprees. And, you know, as far as groups who are still performing, obviously not the original members, but Joey Vann's widow made it a point, because she, I guess, owned the Duprees' name, to make sure that everyone who sang as a Dupree sounded exactly like the originals, and they did. I mean, an amazing, amazing sound as far as that goes. But, of course, Joey Vann was the lead singer on all the hits on Coed, including that one. So who was it who requested that? I know I didn't do that on my own. Oh, Mike and Elmwood Park wanted the Duprees. He also wanted the Cascades and the Corsairs, who we will get next week, but he got the Duprees right now. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And let's see, I think the twanger needs a new battery here is what's going on. But we'll find out. I think I can get to Gene and Dalton, so welcome to WGN. Gene, how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm under the weather, but you made me feel so good by playing that song.
Oh, sure. My
that
pleasure.
Was one of my favorites.
My pleasure.
And I thank you. You make me happy, and you make me cry at the same time, believe me.
Well, sorry about the crying part.
I want to thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
You don't know how much I want to thank you. You did so much for me by finding that old song of my mom's, and you brought back so many memories, and I'm so glad that you played the one first of the orchestra, because I remember all my sisters on the Wednesday and Saturday night getting ready to go to the Trianon in the Aragon Ballroom, to see all the big bands. And so that was a nostalgia. And what I wanted to tell you so much, you know, for playing it. And I just couldn't believe I want my daughter to find it for me, and I'll be playing it for whatever.
You know, I guarantee you that all this stuff is on YouTube. It's really easy to find. And Kimberly can she can download it and put it in some form that you can listen to it anytime you want.
That's what I want. I told her that. I said, as soon as I get out of the hospital, I said, I want to be hearing that.
Yeah,
and I thank you, and I hope I never got a chance to tell you that I hoped you had a wonderful champagne and roses, and even Chateaubriand for your Valentine's Day.
Oh, aren't you kind?
My husband always made it special, and it was a very special day for us. And so I had good memories.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We were working mostly. Had to go to Globe and do some stuff. But we were in the grocery store, and it was on Valentine's Day, and they still had like a ton of those balloons and everything. And I said, I wonder what happened to those balloons. And the next day, John came home with the biggest balloon. And I said, what? He said, now you know what's happened. They give them away. I said, what? He said, yeah, I was checking out. They said, you want a balloon? And so...
Oh, wonderful.
Yep,
wonderful.
So
remember that. Yeah. You'll always remember
I figured that they had a way to like reuse them for next year or something, but apparently the balloons don't last, so they just gave them to the customers.
Oh, is that nice. And it was perfect for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still sitting here on the ceiling.
When he walked in the door with that, it was utter surprise.
Yeah, well, that it was. Yes absolutely.
You know, I know you don't have much time, but you know, last night, I was really ill, but the thing was, I wanted to call you, and you had the night of regrets.
Yeah.
And I hope I can tell it really quick.
Sure, take your time.
Back in 66 and 67, and I think you might want to know, this is crazy, I was the representative for Capital Liquors, one of my jobs. I had two forms of jobs, but anyway, I went to the convention for... the liquor convention at the Hyatt by O'Hare Airport.
Right.
And I was there, and of course, there's so much going on at those conventions, as you know.
Yeah.
And the lie detector was being introduced for the liquor industry. And all of a sudden, I get pulled over. They want to do me. So they couldn't, you know, get to me with the lie detector, and I befuddled them. But I didn't know anybody was watching me. So I turned around to leave, and this man said, do you want to see Helen O'Connell? And I said, what? And he said, yeah, she's up there, he had to go up the escalator.
Right.
She's up there, and he said to me, I think that you would like her music. And I said, well, I do like her music very much. And he persisted that I go up there. I told him, no, I said, I can't do that. I said, I don't have any time. Mm. And then we commenced and had a conversation, and I was telling him, no, 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 no. So anyway, to make a long story short, the next morning, one of my places I had to go is a representative for Capital Liquors. It was in my hometown of Belothea, and I got to the store that I was going to, set up and so forth. But my sister-in-law and the manager were at the desk, and they said, here, hurry up, hurry up. I said, what? What's wrong? And they said, here's a phone number. You have to call the vice president of Shemley's. He wants to talk to you. And I said, what?
Yeah.
I said, I don't have time right now. I said, I have to get over there and get my job done.
Right.
And so I said, no, 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 no. And I couldn't figure out to this day, you know, what happened. But my daughter and my, you know, Elizabeth, they found out with this internet that here, he not only was the vice president of Shemley's, he owned half of Las Vegas and everything else. And about 2 years after me, he made Pia Zadora.
Oh.
Made her a singer. in okay. Las Vegas.
Yeah, that was Meshulam Rickless.
Meshulam Rickless. I was just going to tell you that.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah. And he did make her, no doubt about that.
Yeah, wow. That was a regret.
Yeah, I guess, yes. You betcha.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Now,
you know what?
What? Tell
me. This man was something. He was powerful.
Yeah, tell me about this, though. What is this lie detector deal? That's what I want to know about.
So, anyway, everybody, you know, they got them, you know, on some little thing, you know, when you take that test and everything. And they just couldn't find nothing on me, and it just was cold, you know. And they said, you know, how do you do this? What? And I says, well, probably because I was nervous.
Oh, man. But I still don't understand why they would test people at these conventions. What were they asking?
They were setting it up to have, I guess, the company. They were there for the companies. So the companies were to invest in the lie detectors, you know, they were selling them.
Okay, you know. All right.
Yeah.
So it was a marketing thing. All right.
Sure, everything was marketing, all yeah. Right.
Well.
But it was a strange story, and I said to you, Kimberly, I says, oh, Raleigh will like that as a regret,
yeah.
Because, oh, that was powerful.
Yes.
And I never called him. I had the paper. I would not call him because my husband and I, the town was building up, and three men were construction men, and they were building apartments and homes, and they asked my husband and I to, if we wanted to manage and rent the apartments, a 22-unit, a 14-unit, and 106 apartments. They were all being built, all brand new. And so we took that job on. And I kept mine, and my husband worked 40 years on the railroad. So we were busy, but we didn't make it like Ricklin.
Wow.
It was funny, but life is funny, you know?
Sure it is. Sure it is. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great story. I love it.
Oh, I thought you would because, you know, you have so many things with communication and all your love of people. And I said, You'll get this one because that number I had for years.
Oh, man.
And it was strange, you know. I finally threw it out when I moved here about 50 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah, well, that's interesting because if this was like 67, he was still married to his first wife because they didn't divorce until 77 and or thereabouts. And then he married Pia Zadora, who was like 23 at the time. And I think she was there like 14, 15 years or whatever. And then he was single for a while, and then he married Tally, and then he died. He was 95 years old when he died, and that's about 5-6 years ago. So, yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But I wonder what he's seen in me standing there with his lie detector pistol.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Figure it out.
That's so funny. Yeah, well, you know, I've got a lot of those too, people I didn't call back. For the longest time, I would get phone messages from Frankie Lane. And, you know, just let me take you to lunch. And people, and I loved Frankie Lane's music and all that. But, you know, I was busy at the time. I was, you know, I don't know. But a lot of people say, you know, you should have returned those calls. But I never did.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. You know, your life, when you go on to 92, and you say, oh, all these people and their regrets. And I'm thinking, gee whiz. And the other regret, it's not a regret, but it's something I wish I would have done. When I was down to buy a shower gift downtown, I did my shopping downtown for my niece in 69, I had to have the gift wrapped. So I asked the young lady where I had to go, and it was on the 8th floor of Carson Peary Scott & Company. It was the Sullivan Building right on the corner of State and Madison in Chicago. So I go up to this 8th floor, and I get my gift wrapped, right? I didn't know anybody was watching me again. And guess what? It was Leif Erikson.
Oh, wow.
He comes over to me. It's the men's, you know, that's when it was men only.
Yeah.
The restaurant. So he wanted me to have lunch with him. And I said, no, I have to get home. I got a shower to go to. I got a big night. I have many things to do.
Yeah.
And he resisted it. I mean, he actually took my arm. He said, oh, come on. And I said, no. And so his entourage actually had to take this big, tall guy away from me. And there was my little daughter. I had her sitting down outside there. She's there. And, you know, it was, so I said to the somebody there, and I says, well, for all this trouble and holding me up, I said, you know, as you're taking him away, and I have his autograph then for my daughter.
Oh, wow, that's great.
But that was so funny, you know. And here I said, well, that was not a regret, but, you know, if he would have had both of us in for lunch, it would have been all right. I would have liked to ask him about his wife, who was Frances Farmer.
Right, absolutely. That was his first wife, yeah, and then Margaret Hayes and then Ann Diamond. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but anyway, I mean, those are interesting things, and people have a lot of regrets, but, you know, it was two funny, odd things.
Oh, yeah.
92 years, you know, and you look back at them, and, oh, the time goes, and, life goes on. And
yeah, but you always wonder a little bit of that, what if? Well, it turned out the way it's supposed to, because it always does.
You're right. And then you come to the end of your book and you have your memories. And
yeah.
That's why it's always nice to have someone like you that, you know, has the same thoughts and,
sure.
and the spirit. And you have, and like your husband had a stroke and my husband had that stroke at 95. And,
yeah.
And I know, you know, your love for him and all the endurance, you know, and everything. Yeah. But it's blessings. You know, it's blessings in disguise.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And,
well, so good to talk to you, Jean. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I hope that Elizabeth's getting much better with the baby now.
Good.
It's growing. It's
good.
A healthy baby. Beautiful cheeks. That's Elizabeth's brown little cheeks and beautiful eyes. And I hope that, you know, all goes well for her, too.
Yeah.
So, yes. And I, you know, as soon as he's getting better, he's sleeping a little more, then
good.
We'll be calling you together, you know, together. That will be nice.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that.
Care. Okay, and you take care of yourself.
All right,
and
you too, Jean.
To you and yours.
Okay, hope to talk to you
always.
Soon. Thanks.
Always.
All
and
right.
Bye-bye now.
So always good to hear from Jean. And, Christopher, growing up, right? So, we're running out of time. So I'll do this right now on WGN Radio. Okay, maybe I won't do this on WGN Radio. I don't know where Adam went, but I'll just prattle on, and eventually, I guess we'll just end the show early here. But what do we got? We got Cleveland Dennis and Elgin. So let's see here. Get the twanger here. Yeah, new battery, I can tell. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you doing tonight? We don't know.
It's Cleveland Dennis.
Yes.
That was a lot of information there. I kept up with it.
Good.
Anyhow, the other night, I think it was yesterday, in fact, you had a caller, and he was talking about Willie Dixon.
Yes.
And he had a lot of nice things to say. I saw Willie Dixon live about 1974.
Yeah.
Smiling Dog Saloon, very intimate, little place. And he was singing right up front. I sat down in the first row of chairs. That's what they had there for you.
Yeah.
And, he stood there and played with his, you know, big bass fiddle and sang. And he had, a piano player and a guitar. And it was the most dynamic thing. It just sticks in my mind. He wore a white shirt, and I can see him to this day.
Oh, yeah.
But that was one fantastic show for about $3.
Oh, I'll bet.
And
he was just so good. While he was great at performing, he was such a great writer. And so many people recorded his stuff. And he did a lot of production, too, for, you know, everybody, the names you know, and the McKinley Mitchells, who you don't remember, and everybody else. The list is endless, and it's wonderful.
I just wanted to make that comment after I heard what he had to say yesterday, the fellow that called. And,
yeah.
He was pretty exuberant about it, but I'd like to make a request to play one of Willie Dixon's songs, maybe My Babe.
My Babe, okay. Good enough. I'll do it.
That's all I got.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so now I got to write down Cleveland Dennis because I wrote down my babe. I'll forget who requested it, but no, I will be able to do this. Now, why give out the phone number? It's hopeless. Maddie in Harwood Heights, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, you know what? This has been a wild show, but I'm just going to say what I want to say really quickly. First of all, I worked at Ground Round. I was actually a clown.
Oh, I love it.
My clown name was Bingo, and I used to do the birthday parties and all that stuff. And all the peanuts on the ground and everything else, I don't even know how that was legal to have all of that nonsense on the ground. The other thing I wanted to say was you were talking about Dr. Demento.
Yeah.
My brother and I, we used to just lay up in bed recording it on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
And one of the songs that we thought was so cute was Fish Heads.
Oh, Roly Poly Fish Heads. Fish Heads, Fish Heads, eat them up, yum.
Yeah. I took a fish head out to get a movie. Didn't have to pay. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
And I just wanted to end the show on a happy note because there was a lot of heavy topics tonight. It's so great to listen to you, Raleigh, as always. Have a great night.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll play Barnes & Barnes next week. Thanks.
I love it.
Appreciate it.
Good night, Raleigh.
All right. So, yes, indeed. I listened every Saturday night, too, and I was usually working a competing radio station, but I never missed it. And, you know, like we've talked with Fran and everybody, I don't know why that didn't last forever on the radio, because it should have. It absolutely should have. It never got old to me. So, you know, and of course, being from L.A., we heard them originally when it was all L.A. stuff, like Pico and Zapal, but Pico, yeah, right, well, okay. So, let's see, a request from Isaac on the South Side. Let's see what we can do. What do you think, Isaac?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Hi, Raleigh. I wanted to request the song I heard on YouTube called They Raided the Joint.
Oh.
I heard it from a singer from, I think, the 40s. Her name was Vanita Smith, and Smith was spelled with a Y, but if there's somebody that you know that maybe sings it, you know, she's singing it in a movie, a little better, you know, whomever, but that's the song.
You will hear it next week. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, all right. So what do we got? Let's see if we can quickly do some hit and get here. A couple more people I think we will get to. And let's see who that would be. Oh, man, he's been waiting all night. Victor in Silver Spring. I'm sorry it took so long. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you. I have a collection, I call it Highlights from Dr. Demento and Other Goodies, which I pull out. And I remember a song called How Come My Dog Don't Bark When You're Around.
Oh, Prince Patridge, you say you never met my wife, you never saw her before, you don't visit me when I ain't home. Well, here's what I want to know, how come my dog don't bark when you come round?
Yeah, I got the 1932 song. Also, in my collection, somebody gave me a bunch of tapes. He was visiting down and listened to South 106, and they played, oh my God, they're so funny, the Heine wine commercial.
Oh, of course, yes, that was big for years. That was syndicated.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, two disc jockeys, I understand, got bored and made up all these commercials. I mean, they were rich. And I understand you can actually buy them. Heine wine. My late fiance looked it up online a number of years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Supposedly it was Big Red and Thor Heine. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So
I mean, there's enough. We can set up a party. We can give you cheese with the little knives, and you can cut the cheese until the cows come home.
Exactly.
And then after the party, we clean up. There's nothing worse than having Heine stains on your carpet.
Well, right, right. And you also could get the pamphlet, 101 Things to Do with Your Heine.
That was funny. And then I think my all-time favorite one has got to be, well, there's been a break-in at the winery factory, and police are canvassing to see if they can find the stolen cans of Heine.
Right.
So when the cop comes to your door, let him examine your Heine.
Yep, that's it. All right, you've ended the note on a happy note, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right, so now I think that's it, because I think that we didn't do a break before, and we probably need to do that. And Adam's saying that he's there now. All right, Adam's back. All right, so I'll say that I'm gone. That's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling, and many apologies to those who are still waiting, but that's why we have next week. Monday night, full show, Monday night trivia. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.